Where we had left off the last time was you had moved back to Seattle towards the end of the war. And in fact, we talked about Armistice Day, and you were talking about being home, and that you hadn't been a part of all the...
No, not all the excitement downtown or anything like that. I missed out on that completely, but there was a lot of horn honking, like I said. I guess that railroad groundhouse must have been yours, because I remember all the locomotives, you know, and just blasts that just went on, seemed like, for hours practically, and it was, you know, quietly exciting from that standpoint. I wasn't down with the rest of the people, and I guess after I read the things that went on, I'm glad I wasn't there, you know, sort of protected, but it was exciting, it was enjoyable, and very educational.
Now, at this time, you were still working for the, as a general...
No, this time, see, when I came back to Seattle, I'm not sure if I was working when I first came up there or not, because I know I worked as an elevator operator for Penny's.
Oh, that's right.
No, and then when I was...
Portland.
And then when I started back to school, and that was like in winter quarter, or spring quarter, I guess it was, because then I went summer quarter also, and that started me in the fall. It started me like, you know, the beginning of a year. I wasn't like a second quarter sophomore or anything like that. And I can't remember if I was working part-time at that moment or not. I think I didn't do any work until that fall. And then I had a part-time job for a short time in an architect's office typing. And I was only at that about a month, because that just sitting there typing day after day began, well, didn't inspire me. And then someone had told me about, well, it was another part-time job down at a, like a scientific supply house with chemicals and all the things like chemistry and physics and biology that schools and businesses would use. So I went to work at something like that part-time. And that was, I don't know, far more interesting. That one I enjoyed more, because I could work, say, like 2 or 3 days a week, or I could work every day part-time, and it was very flexible. I could come in and practice when I wanted. And they were very understanding. It was a small company, and being small, I think it was more relaxed. You could work as hard as you wanted, or, well, I don't think you could sit there and waste time, but just flexible hours, which worked out great for the school schedule.
Were you, do you remember about roughly what you were making then, like that job, or?
No, I don't. I don't know if that was the... seemed to me like it was 75 cents an hour for a long time, but I think that's all it was, because when you were part-time and a student or something like that, you just didn't get as much as if you were working full-time. You know, in other words, you were there every day. I think that's still what it was.
Now, okay, so you had... you were still living at home while you were going to school. And was the money that you were making part-time, was that...
it was all mine. I'd buy my school clothes, some of my school supplies. My parents paid my tuition. And the money I made was, you know, all mine. But like I said, some of the school supplies and clothes. There wasn't too much else to spend it on. There wasn't that much, you know, didn't have that much, you know, money to be able to spend it just everywhere.
Now, this is when you're planning on going into aeronautical engineering?
No, that, I dropped that idea when we had gone to California and that priest at Loyola said women didn't belong in that field. When I came back, then this question of what am I going to do the rest of my life? It was in the back of my mind all the time, and I kept okay, then if I'm not going to engineering, then what am I going to do? And I thought, well, okay, I've had these few classes in engineering so far. Now, what can I switch that over to? What else can I do? And I had the idea, well, okay, I'll be a mathematician. And I started to major in math, and people, you know, how they'll ask me, well, what are you going to do with it? There's always that question, what are you going to do with it? And I think that everybody who ever goes to school, and you tell them what you're majoring in, you're forever, that question will always come up, what are you going to do with it? And anyway, so what am I going to do with mathematics? are you going to teach? And I, oh, is that all I can do is teach? Well, there's not much else you can do with it because you're a woman. Always this, there's not much else you can do with it because you're a woman. So I thought, teach. I can't imagine me being up in front of a class trying to teach kids. And still, you know, there was still this shyness. I just, oh, be up in front of people, I would die. I'd just soon go underneath the floor and crawl in a hole. Mm-hmm. So the math, I think I finished calculus. I also got through physics, as far as the math goes. And then there was one day when I was down, when I was at work, and I was sitting at this desk, and they had brought in, a bookkeeper, an auditor, or an accountant, I guess, when they go over the company books and so forth. His desk was next to mine, and so he wasn't a full-time employee of the company, but he was, you know, so he was sitting next to me, and he was only there for a short time. And naturally, you get to talking. He asked me what I was doing in school and what I was going to do, and I just wasn't sure. He's the one that told me about the University of Stanford in the psychology department. They had a test that you could write for, and at that time it was like about $1, $1.50. And you answer all these questions. In fact, just the questions I noticed that they're still being used by a lot of companies in the different places, you know, well, what are you best suited for? What are you oriented to? So I thought, well, okay, because he said, well, you should do something like this. It'll save you a lot of time. Don't waste your time majoring in something when you may not even want to do it. And you get along too far and you realize, oh my goodness, I want to major in something else. Mm-hmm. So anyway, like I said, I wrote for the test and I answered all the questions, and it's things like, well, do you like, dislike, or have no feeling for? Or which would you be most interested in, this or this? So one of the answers, when it came back, the two top things, it was equal, either an artist or a laboratory technician. And I had never given either one of them any thought. In fact, a laboratory technician never even heard of. And let's see, then it went down to a dentist, a librarian, I think even the engineer was kind of high also. And I forget what the rest of them were, but just the two at the top. So I thought, okay, looked into a laboratory technician, and that's when I changed my major. So I changed it from math. Math was my minor now, mm-hmm. and I switched over to biological science. Mm-hmm. And that made a big difference. And then I realized, well, the lab work is exceptionally fascinating. And that, well, I'm glad I did switch. That made a big difference. And then I kind of wish I had majored more in chemistry than anything. But then, okay, then finding out about being a laboratory technician, at that school, you could finish all your book work. And then the last year of college would be spent interning in a lab in a hospital. And that would give you the college units, and you could graduate after that.
Did you, when you had gotten the results back from the test, did you really feel like it accurately said something you'd like to do, or did you?
Yeah, I felt like it was very accurate. It mm-hmm. introduced new ideas that nobody had ever told me about before, and something that I never heard a thing about it. Mm-hmm. And my parents weren't particularly much good on this, but I don't know. Maybe they aren't. I don't know, but they never suggested it. Just that they encouraged me to go to school. But I felt like this really introduced some new thought, new fields. And then when I finally, like I said, when I finally did switch into laboratory science, you know, the biology thing, mm-hmm. It really was stimulating. Mm-hmm. I felt like, gee, why didn't somebody tell me about this before? It was really encouraging.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to check it for a minute.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a little quiet. I think I'd be down your table a little. But, anyway, you had said that it just wasn't something that you had heard about before.
Right.
But once you did hear that, it did seem like something.
Oh, yeah, it made a big difference. Mm-hmm. Because before, like in the math, I just couldn't figure out. It was so useless to it. What am I going to do with it? I just really wasn't inclined that way. Mm-hmm. And I think also my social life sort of got in the way, too. I knew a fellow at the time, and he kept telling me, well, he couldn't figure out why I was taking calculus. And he was in one of my calculus classes, and he... His presence bothered me, and it bothered me from the standpoint I just didn't quite get a hold of the idea of calculus as well as if I'd been in there by myself. Because I noticed that when, okay, in the engineering classes, I may have been the only girl, and the fellows would talk to me and so forth, but I wasn't involved with them, you know, like going on dates, or I wasn't, infatuated with one, anything like that. And that didn't bother me quite so much, and I seemed to get those subjects a lot better. But the calculus and this other fellow, and finally I thought, I just can't stand him anymore, and I think also I was relieved to get out of there because he was in bacteriology, he wasn't in chemistry, and I felt like this is my place. This is where I was meant to be. I had that nice feeling to it, and it was to me it was a big help.
Mm-hmm. When you were in the engineering classes and you were the only woman, did the men ever give you any razzing about being the only woman?
Oh, I remember a little bit of teasing. If any of them gave me a bad time. The bad time consisted of totally ignoring me. I wasn't there. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, okay, when I was in drafting or there was some engineering math, oh, yeah, and surveying, being the only girl to survey. Well, some of them had the attitude, do you think you know how to handle that transit? And there was another fellow who worked with me, and he and I think came out with the best reads. We had to survey a block around the school, and we came out better than some of the rest of them. And just a little initial snobbery, like, you know, oh, well, I just don't think you can do it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't care for the attitude, but it sure as heck didn't stop me. And I still came out all right on it, and I still enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Did any of the instructors ever?
Oh gosh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, never had any problem whatsoever. In fact, I thought the instructors were just excellent. There was one fellow who taught quite a bit of the math and a lot of the engineering classes, and one day, I guess I was feeling just a little insecure, and I started to talk to him something about, well, being a woman being in there, and he says, so what? You like the class, don't you? And I, oh, love it. Well, what difference does it make if you're a woman and you're in here? Oh, okay. He said, don't let it bother you. And it was just that little bit of encouragement, and it made a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
But they, I don't know, never had any problem with instructors.
Mm-hmm. So once you switch to math and the biological.
Yeah, biology.
Start having more women in your class?
Oh, yeah, especially with the, in fact, it'd be class of all girls, bacteriology, biology, zoology. When I took that, now that was a different experience. That was about the time when there was a lot of vets coming back to school, and the classes would be huge. And a lot of them had come back to major in medicine because the courses that I took would be courses taken by pre-med students. And so in other words, it was almost like a basic pre-med class I would take. They would go on another year and graduate that way, and then they'd go on, you know, maybe to medical school. So we would have, bacteriology they didn't get into, but anatomy, zoology, biology, and the chemistry they would be into. But bacteriology, that was more or less, you're either going to be a lab technician or be a nurse, and so that would be more women than it would be men. And the zoology, that was three-fourths men. And, of course, the vets coming back that way, they were a little rowdier. Being in war, I guess, had taken off some of their finer points, and they'd be a little more coarse, a little noisier. There'd be some obscene jokes once in a while, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you were saying that you'd also mentioned your social life.
Yeah.
Been able to meet more people on the campus?
Oh, yeah. I had that. Oh, and then as far as being bashful, it was about this time when there was a change that came about, and I began to lose some of the shyness. I really didn't lose it completely, I think, until, it's only been in the last few years, but we'll get into that, too, I guess, later on. Anyway, I just had a particular problem as far as looking people straight in the eye. You get down the hall, and you see your friends, And instead of saying hello, my head would always be down. Well, I was taking a sociology class, and it was taught by a Jesuit, and he was a very dynamic person. And he was I thought he was attractive from the standpoint, the way he would lecture, he was fascinating. You get some hold of some teachers, and you just practically hang on every word. They know how to present it, and they're presenting it in such a way that it's, oh my goodness, where have I been before? I just want to take this for the rest of my life. You get this sort of a feeling out of it. Mm-hmm. Well, when I started that class, there weren't any books for sociology in the bookstore, and he says, don't even bother by it. He says, if you all just take notes carefully, he says, you'll be able to pass the class. He says, don't worry about the sociology book. So I'd sit there, instead of writing notes, I'd just be mesmerized by him because he'd have this black cassock on, and the tail of it would be flapping as he'd be walking back and forth across the room, and he got so wound up when he was saying, and he'd just forget everywhere else, anything else, and he'd just be walking back and forth, and he'd say, yes, hang on every word. And every once in a while, he'd stop, and he'd ask somebody a question. And I'd be sitting there with my pencil poised, and he'd stop, and Betty, what was this? I don't know. I panicked, he just pinned me down, and all of a sudden, he zeroed in on me. Mm-hmm. And he didn't do it so that he would be embarrassed, but be kind of, he sort of smile, and nobody else, he wouldn't look at you, well, you dummy, can't you answer the question? Mm-hmm. Or raise my hand, I know, if she can't answer because she's so dumb. He didn't get this at all. Mm-hmm. And one day he'd asked me something, I said, I don't know. And then all of a sudden he turned and he says, haven't I taught you before? Meaning he had me in another class, and I answered, I said, no, you haven't taught me anything yet. And what I meant was, no, I hadn't been in another class. Mm-hmm. And of course the class cracked up, and he cracked up, and I was a little embarrassed. And then I started to laugh. Oh, no, I don't mean that. But, everybody got a big kick out of it. And from then on, I was teased about it. Well, then he started to talk to me after class. He asked me a couple times if I could stay after. And he began to talk to me. Finally, he says, where am I working? And what am I doing after school? And, in other words, trying to get acquainted with me. Because then we were in an empty classroom one day. And he says, I'm going to ask you a question. He says, you think about sex, and because you do, you think you're terrible, don't you? And my face about burned up, and I said, yes. Mm-hmm. And he said, you just absolutely think you're the only one that thinks about it. Well, yes. And then he explained to me, all right, he knew where I got those thoughts. That came from home. I wasn't wrong because I thought about them. I was perfectly normal. Everybody else does. There is nothing wrong with me whatsoever. And he says, now, do you realize that you're perfectly normal? And I said, well, now that you explained to me, yes. Okay, he says, I want to see you the next time I see you in the hall. I want you to have your head up, and I want you to be speaking to your friends and so forth. You dress well. You look nice. There is nothing wrong with you whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And from then on, it just seemed like it made a big difference. Mm-hmm. My shyness started to, dissolve quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And I think, like I said, I didn't totally get over it at that time, but that made a big difference right there. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, at home, it was something else. Mm-hmm. My mother just didn't have too good an opinion of men and women's relationships, and men were something that should have been buried a long time ago, I guess, and mm-hmm. so there wouldn't have been any encouragement from that part. Mm-hmm. But from then on, anyway, that helped me in school a lot. Mm-hmm.
So you feel that had something to do that was getting in the way of your being more open?
Yes, because the way I feel now today, at my age, I think back and I think of all the time I wasted. If I had known then what I know now, mm-hmm. I think I could have gone to the moon. In other words, there wouldn't be anything that I couldn't do. Mm-hmm. Because when you go into a class or when you do anything and you're worried more about yourself than anything else, mm-hmm. you miss out on a lot. Your grades suffer. You don't read anything completely because you're always thinking, what's wrong? In other words, I'd be thinking, what's wrong with me? Am I dumb? Why aren't I as good as anyone else? And I'd always be more concerned with my impression on people mm-hmm. rather than, well, everybody else thinks the same thing too. I'm a human being. I walk on 2 feet, and I'm clean, and I present myself well. I am courteous to people. I haven't done anything to hurt anyone. Mm-hmm. And then forgetting it, this other just gets in the way. Mm-hmm.
So did you then finish school there in Seattle?
Yep, I finished up to the point I took all my medical technician classes, and then I had written several places for interning. And even in British Columbia, like in Victoria, there was a hospital that would take, you know, people from the United States. And there was a couple of, let's see, I think it was one or two hospitals in Seattle. And, of course, my friends and I, we would discuss about where we were going to go. And it came down to making a decision between Salt Lake and Denver. Okay, at this time, I was just ready to intern. I was going to start that September of 47. Well, leading up to this, I had met my husband, I met Josh, and we got married in September, and so he and I took off, we flipped coins, which is going to be Denver or Salt Lake. We didn't know anything about it, and it came out Salt Lake. So I contacted the doctor there that had a lab, I can't think of his position right off. Anyway, he had it in charge of the lab in the hospital, and then he also had a lab downtown that he ran. So I started to intern for him, and that's when, well, I finished school, as far as that goes, for Seattle University. Well, then when Josh and I went to Salt Lake and I started interning there, you had to send your transcript into the registry of medical technologists in Indiana. Well, they sent back and said I lacked 5 units in a chemistry class. I can't remember if it was quantitative or qualitative. And instead of taking the 5 units in the University of Utah, and still being just a little too self-conscious, I quit and I went to work for a truck line as a cashier. Because Josh says, well, he says, we're only going to stay there a year, and then when we get enough money saved up, we'll come back out to the West Coast. Mm-hmm. And so we came back out to the West Coast. Then I started school at San Jose State. In California, having different rules and regulations as far as lab technicians go, you have to graduate, and then you intern, and then you take the state test. You have nothing to do with that registry back in Indiana. So there was just a lot of other classes I had to take, and so I came back, and it was just almost like starting school all over again because it was more bacteriology, there was more chemistry, like parasitology and embryology and all that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So finally I graduated in San Jose State.
Mm-hmm. Now, backtrack a little.
Okay.
Can you tell me about meeting Josh?
Yeah, how did I meet him? Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Mm-hmm. Let's see. I met him, it was the beginning of the fall quarter that's 46. Yeah, and he just gotten out of service. And so I didn't know him in uniform. And I had just broken up with a fellow and came back to school, and of course the place is filled, you know, like I said, with vets and all that sort of thing, so there was a lot of fellows there. Well, okay, then my girlfriend, whose name was Shirley, she was in a couple of my classes, and we would do things together, and pretty soon she started talking about this character she met in one of her classes, and his name was Josh. And, you know, well, I know this person, and you know that person, and I know, you just, you know, well, you know somebody by the name of Josh, and that would be it. Well, okay, being a lab technician, there was a club that you joined, and I think, and she was going to be a nutritionist. So between all of this, she and I would go to these meetings. Josh was there because he was going to be pre-med, and he would take us both home from these meetings, and I gradually got acquainted with him through her and through all of this. He'd be at the meeting, maybe she wasn't, he might take me home, and there was just nothing going on quite at first, except that he had such a terrific sense of humor that I just really was quite, you know, fascinated by him. And we went to, they had an initiation banquet. And, let's see, Shirley was on one side and I was on the other. And he was always muttering under his breath, making some funny remark. And we were silly, and so we kept giggling all the time. And I got a little more acquainted with him that way. But I didn't go out with him until it was February. It was in the winter quarter. And it was one of these dances where the girls asked the boys and so forth. And he will deny it to this day. And I'm glad he's not here because he can't argue with me. But anyway, I stopped talking to him in the hall. And he said something about going to that dance. And I said, well, I just haven't thought of who I'm going to take. And he says, anyway, some words to the effect, well, I think it'd be nice if you took me. And so anyway, that was the first date with him. And from then on, there wasn't anybody else. And we got married September the 1st. Mm-hmm. And so here we are 100 years later.
Is that like a city hockey?
Yeah, I think, that thing was called a tolo. Now, I don't know if that's the right word for it, but yeah, I think they are called city. What is it, city hockey? Yeah, it was called a tolo for some reason. Right?
Uh-huh.
I don't know where that word comes from. I don't know why that.
Uh-huh.
But it was a formal dance. The boys, well, he wore a tuxedo when he came to pick me up.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I was just thrilled to pieces. I got to go, oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so infatuated with all this, and just head over heels. And I think my mother must have realized because, well, from then on, Josh was no good. Didn't I see what a bum he was? No.
So she resisted the two of you.
Oh, yes. And my father, what was it, he would have a fit because if Josh was going to take me someplace and he dressed up, he only had one suit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think they only got $65 a month when they were returning GIs, and you know, he went back in the GI Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And his father would take that money, and so Josh was working part-time, and he just didn't have money to buy another suit.
Mm-hmm.
And then, am I working part-time? Oh, yeah, that was right. I quit that job down at Scientific Supplies, and then I was working part-time at the school, and that paid $75 an hour. So I was working at the college at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So between the two of us, we'd get a pay date, and we would immediately splurge because we knew we wouldn't be able to the day after that check. Because either somewhere, I would be paying for most of the dates because Josh would be giving all his money to his father, who immediately drank it.
Mm-hmm.
And but he and I would splurge and go out to dinner, something or other.
Mm-hmm.
And
what was he planning on doing after school?
He was majoring in pre-med at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he only had, he had a year of college at that time. And then we went through summer school, and then when we left, the idea was that, see, I didn't get any money when I interned. Some places that intern would pay you a little bit each month, but this you just did on your own. So he was going to work until I got through with this, then I would work, and he'd go back to school.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about it, and that was the arrangement we had.
Mm-hmm.
So he just worked as a common laborer because he didn't know anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Service hadn't taught him anything, and, that he could, use in private life.
Mm-hmm.
So then when I quit, when both of us were working, and then we saved money, bought a car, came back out to the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started in all over again as far as school goes.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you move to the San Jose area because...
Yeah, we moved to San Francisco. We stayed there about 3 years. No. Well, between 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
And then we bought a house down at Mountain View. That's just south of San Francisco and about 15 miles, I guess, from San Jose, something like that. And then when we both started school down there, we would commute, back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, for a while, we would work part-time, go to school part-time. And then finally he pushed me through, because I was closer to the end than he was. He says, I want you to finish school, and then I'll go back, and I won't have to work, but you then will work full-time. Because he says, we can make more. We can live better off of your salary than we can off this other way, and I can get through faster. And then at that time, he had... I forget where he got the idea, but he switched to engineering.
Mm-hmm.